Hello, all my friends, smart sports bettors. Jorma Vuoksma here in Tiger 888 podcast. And today I'm talking about the NFL, my starting preseason power ratings, then a bit more detailed analysis of the top Super Bowl contenders, and then short ideas about teams to bet and those ones to lay or fade or go against, whatever. I underline that these power ratings I'll give you are the ones which I had before the season started. So to get the current actual power ratings, you should adjust these power ratings according to your philosophy or methods. Some bettors react to how the market has bet the teams in the first two rounds. If you have a look on the most reliable source for the odds information, Sport Market, which takes the top prices of all the biggest and most reliable bookmakers, so you kind of can trust that the numbers you get reflect to the money bet worldwide on the team or against the team. So if you respect the market, which I do, and I reckon you should do as well, then you adjust your ratings according to the world betting market and raise the power ratings of the teams which were more bet or trusted than your probably estimates said or what you could have believed according to the preseason power ratings. I quite like that method. And on the other hand, some people don't care the market or not care about the market a lot, and they adjust their ratings according to they see different game metrics, like in American football, expected points, yards made and allowed, perhaps some kind of weighted yards. I respect more the rush yards than the passing game yards due to the less variance and long story, but the rushing yard, it seems to be more kind of useful stats than the passing yards, at least slightly. And of course, the most brutal method which some players use is just to react to the actual outcomes, points, or in the most brutal mood, games won or lost. I don't recommend that, but I understand that not everybody can take that much time for sports betting, so their methods could be more simple. And of course, there are all kind of power ratings all around in the World Wide Web, so there you could make your adjustments as well. I even know quite a smart sports bettor who basically doesn't make any adjustments to his preseason ratings, and he makes constant profits and works for a big bookmaker at the moment. So even that kind of method, which sounds pretty crazy, might be something. However, here come my preseason power ratings for NFL, which you should, as I said, adjust according to your methods. San Francisco 49ers, 68. Kansas City Chiefs, 68. Philadelphia Eagles, 67. Buffalo Bills, 65. Baltimore Ravens, 65. Cincinnati Bengals, 64. Dallas Cowboys, 60. Miami Dolphins, 56. LA Chargers, 56. Jacksonville Jaguars, 55. Detroit Lions, 53. Cleveland Browns, 53. Denver Broncos, 52. Minnesota Vikings, 50. New England Patriots, 49. Seattle Seahawks, 48. Tennessee Titans, 48. Green Bay Packers, 46. LA Rams, 46. New Orleans Saints, 46. Atlanta Falcons, 46. Pittsburgh Steelers, 45. New York Giants, 44. New York Jets, 44. Washington Commanders, 42. Carolina Panthers, 41. Indianapolis Colts, 40. Las Vegas Raiders, 39. Chicago Bears, 38. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 37. Houston Texans, 36. And Arizona Cardinals, 33. Then some comments of the top Super Bowl contenders and the teams which I clearly see at the moment as betting objects or teams to go against in the betting. Of course, depending on the actual betting lines, but how I anticipate to the market to react, and I'm quite often right, and at least you should search betting value more from teams which I categorize as betting objects, and start bit like slightly with laying attitude or negative attitude towards teams with where I see lay potential, which means that I anticipate the market to like those teams more than I do. So where quite often it's valued to go against them. Again, you can use these power ratings and adjust them according to your methods, and then see from rating differences where the line should be, and then make the betting decisions. But if you don't have time, or you don't have time to do this, or don't understand completely the power rating process, so then use these rough ideas of bet and lay teams as your guideline. Well, somebody might be surprised. I have San Francisco as a Super Bowl favorite. Or one more point, by the way. These power ratings reflect to the actual strength of the team. So if you make bets to win the division or over under certain number of wins during the season, or if you bet on Super Bowl, there you should take into consideration the schedule strength the team is playing against this season. And when it comes to Super Bowl bets, you should consider the probability to getting a good seat for the playoff three, and so on. But if you compare team against team now, like tonight, the 24th of September, on the round three on NFL, so then you can compare these power ratings. I need to mention that actually there are some kind of illogical things between different betting markets, and you can find good situations, if not clear arbitrage situations, by betting the teams in the markets. They are good value and go against them in toss markets where they are not. In general, people don't understand nor react enough to the strength of the divisions. That means that one should not take the teams which are expected to be on the fourth position or even third on the division. They should not be bet division winners or seasonal wins overs, or not even Super Bowl, because we need luck in order to go through from their competitive divisions. They are better valued to bet as underdogs with the handicaps. And on the other hand, even not so good team, like let's take Buffalo Bills as an example. I have rated them to be worse team than San Francisco, Kansas City or Philadelphia. But I don't find Miami or New England or Jets as good teams as the market likes. So in my opinion, Bills are very probably divisional winner, get a good seat on the playoffs, and therefore we will have a better chance on those markets. And then certain other teams playing in the tougher divisions, as I said, should be backed on handicaps. Like, what could be a good example? Like Denver Broncos, they are nothing to the Super Bowl or toss bets, nor LA Rams. But like Rams, which are, in my book, 46-point power rating, they can be good bets with points received as handicaps. One more thing about these power ratings. If you have a round-robin tournament like an European soccer league, there my power ratings react to the win percentages. There, win is one and a draw is half. Or in round-robin ice hockey leagues like NHL or... Actually, it's not like Finnish league, in biggest parts, everybody plays against each other. There, you can basically think that the power rating should correlate very strongly to the win percentage, even if extra times are counted, win or lose to both sides or so on. But in NFL, their schedules can be pretty different, and the strength of the opponents the team is facing makes that you can't, at the end of a season, compare these power ratings to a win percentages. Nor during the season, you should be pretty critical what kind of schedule has been. I might make another podcast about that, because after a couple of weeks, the win percentages and even more advanced statistics for teams can give a pretty false picture of teams, because the opponents have been completely different. Okay, I need occasionally give some kind of background and advice about my betting philosophy and what is behind these numbers. I know it might be irritating if you are my frequent listener or friend or customer, but I simply need to do this because the number of my followers and listeners is going up, and in foreign countries where betting culture is not necessarily on the same level as here in Finland. So I need to explain something which might be even very kind of trivial and basic for you, if you are my long-term listener. Anyway, so why San Francisco? First of all, the team was very unlucky last season. After Christian McCaffrey came into the team, Frisco was very strong. They had the defense, very strong defense, good offensive line, good coach, and McCaffrey was exactly what the doctor ordered. They got their running game going and therefore balance to the offense game, and Purdy, I don't know how injured he was in different phases of the season, but it's rumored that his elbow had been a problem. And anyway, so then San Francisco faced Philadelphia. I would say that San Francisco would have won a game with a healthy QB, even if I have full respect, and I was long for Philadelphia Eagles in my antepost bet, so it was not kind of, you know, that I why no moan after the lost game, but you know, the margins between the top teams and, okay, between the middle teams and so on, they are very narrow here in NFL, but the top teams there, we don't have that much of analysis risks. We quite clearly know inside one or two power rating points how strong the teams actually are. When we go downwards on the league ratings, we have more room for mistakes, and of course the normal variance where teams strengths can vary. So what I'm trying to say is that I'm not that sure if Kansas City was better team than San Francisco 49ers, or even better than Philly Eagles. And if I found that, you know, these teams which are good profile, as I say, which seem to have those attributes which I have found to correlate with the positive betting returns during my 45-year-old career as a winning sports bettor. I mean, quite often I just close my eyes to the number statistics and just almost blindly give extra power rating points for those teams who suit in my profile requirements. And that is the case with Frisco. Running game, defense, offline, offensive line, coach, and a slight bad luck last season, and improvement and everything. So I quite like them, and it's possible you can find even value with them, even if they are favorite. But I mean, occasionally you can take in a home game a strong team as a favorite and just go for it. And even in away games like last Thursday. So Frisco is, at least you should not try to make any hero underdog plays against that kind of solid, really strong favorites. Kansas City is, of course, a strong team. We could have achieved better statistics last seasons, I say seasons and last season as well, if they didn't play, they gave an impression, but they didn't fire up all the cylinders in all those games. They kind of, you know, might have been a bit overconfident of themselves, or it might be that Andy Reid, the very kind of, might be one of all-time coaches in NFL, he gave kind of subconsciously or even with spoken words instructions for the team to save themselves to a more important games. I don't know, but I at least got an impression that they didn't play at the top of their range in all the games. So, for these reasons, I don't find it impossible that they would play kind of letdown games with just 90% of their capacity. Because, you know, even almost all the teams can have kind of Super Bowl hangover on the next season, especially that kind of experienced teams like Chiefs. So even if I rate them so high, I might seek the spots there they might be overconfident or lazy or unconcentrated and give a chance for a live dog with the handicap points. Then about Philadelphia Eagles. I had some antepost bets on them last season, which I could hedge profitably, and I like them. And they are still strong team. And I repeat, if they were lucky against the injury hurt San Francisco on the semifinals, so somebody might argue that with a more fortunate events, they might have taken the fall Super Bowl. The strength of Philadelphia Eagles are the both lines, offensive and defensive. It might sound illogical, but regardless of the strong defensive line, their run defense was a bit vulnerable last season, but it might be just a coincidence. And another thing is that even in this current season, I expect Philadelphia to be in lead in the majority of the games. And that means that if they sit on the lead, the team which is behind need to play a lot of passing plays, which means that the possible vulnerability, the run defense doesn't hurt Eagles that much. Actually, you could take this as a live betting idea, but think if the Eagles will face more running plays or passing plays and then react to that in your live betting lines. The Super Bowl hangover I just mentioned with Kansas City Chiefs might apply even with the lost team. And I've seen some stats of the betting returns for the Super Bowl teams, both of them, both in the normal match betting on the early rounds of the season and the seasonal over-under wins. And there is almost statistically strong evidence that it's profitable to go against them, because, you know, the market likes those Super Bowl heroes. And then, even with the experienced professional players, those emotions can't be avoided, what you get from being in the Super Bowl, either facing the big disappointed or even worse, getting your lifetime target goal dream to come true. So therefore, there might be value to bet, especially in certain games where the underdogs are motivated, extra motivated, or get a huge number of handicap points to go against Chiefs or Eagles. You know, if you get enough handicap points, you can even din in many, many ways with those underdogs. Now I go to kind of, you know, general betting advice, but this is pretty important. If you take those situations with plus 10.5, plus 13, plus 14.5, or go in live betting there, a bet or capped team is on the points defect, you can just sneak in to cover the handicap that the favorite has already kind of won a game and starts to play sloppy or soft, or, you know, making more mistakes, or they even in their plays and tactics they start doing all kind of experiments, or they can put to the field personnel just to test them and give them playing time and not, you know, play with best possible lineup. By the way, that is the mighty works very well in NBA basketball, so keep that in mind there as well. Okay, we move to Buffalo Bills. They're not as good as market believed last season or season before, but I would say that at the moment they are in their reputation they deserve. They were a bit unlucky last season, if they were lucky the seasons before. We have great quarterback, even if Allen threw some interceptions last season, it might be just bad luck. And Bills have strengthened their offensive line, which could make it even better to avoid those stupid, irritating turnovers. So I was against Buffalo many times last season. I believe that I might at least not to bet against them as much as last season. I would prefer to see more good running games, running plays from them. Then we go to the big idea, the big bets, everything big, probably the most useful idea for you in this podcast, and that is Baltimore Ravens. I backed them to win the Super Bowl and seasonal wins, and I backed them almost weekly last season. And I was desperately unlucky with them. Those Lamar Jackson and other injuries, then the bad luck in the games as well. And then I must admit that they even burnt some already won games against bad opponents. And even after all that, they were so close to go longer in the playoffs. So that is a really strong team. But I'm not that many power rating points after the big those four teams. And as you can see, I rate Ravens 1 point stronger than Cincinnati Bengals. And I now, after Baltimore, with very kind of deserved way, beat Cincy on week two on their away team, away game, where I had a huge bet, Baltimore plus 3.5 and threes. So some money line bets as well. So I feel even more confident. But as I believed last season as well, Baltimore is stronger than Cincinnati. Let's face it. And now I have backed many thousands on Baltimore to win the Super Bowl with 18-1. And on, I mean, 70-1, 18 times money, as we say here in Europe. And all kind of different seasonal bets on them. And when I had a look on the look ahead lines before the season started, so I get the kind of, you know, sweet water to my mouth. Then I found that how many juicy situations to bet Ravens I could find this season. One more time, very unlucky last year in the games with injuries, unlucky as well. Lamar Jackson, who is one of the best and the most versatile quarterbacks in the league, even if in his current health situation, a decent, if not good, defense, very good coach. The schedule is pretty good this season, which means that you have less variance in your bets during the season, and then they have acquired a new offensive coordinator, which is not bad, because the offensive players are very experienced, so they should adjust fast. And the defensive coordinator is a sharp guy, and it can be seen in their defense. And one more point, they beat Cincy now without their what is he called, blackout Humphrey, a very good player. So I would have Baltimore in power rating 66, if not 67, at the moment. And the market has not reacted as fast as I have. So I quite believe here you can have a value bet team along with me most of the weeks during the season. It might be a couple of weeks before the market adjusts. And okay, in that situation, we might have received even more positive information about Ravens. So we might have even stronger power ratings at the moment. Okay, enough. We are bullish with Baltimore Ravens. And since Bengals, I touched them already when I talked about Ravens. If Ravens were desperately unlucky, since he was very lucky 2022, I mean, they were pretty, or not lucky, but neutral with fair injury luck, and on that division, many teams suffered, both Cincy and Pittsburgh as well, suffered about bad injury luck. And so that fact, in addition to the injury luck with opponents, so since he's not at all that strong as everybody believed last season or believe this season. And it's I have a correlated position for the Ravens, I have been pretty aggressive going against Cincy. So I live dangerously if Cincy turns the tables or something happens to the Ravens, like Jackson gets injured or whatever. But man must do what man must do, that's my biggest ideas for this season. Positive Ravens, negative Bengals. Then Dallas Cowboys, which I already have a bit like 6 power rating points with their 60 after Cincinnati 64. Dallas is quite good team. They with both sides of the ball. They played well last season. They were a bit unlucky with Prescott, numerous interceptions. That was I call it bad luck. They have good or at least decent offensive line and no props. But the problem is that Dallas Cowboys have been for 50 years the America's team. All neutrals and even normal people like Dallas, at least as their second favorite American football team. That might sound strange, but that affects the betting markets. You always pay kind of, you know, extra tax for being on a team there. The demand for the ordinary punters is so strong that it gets as strong as the supply for the smart thinking bettors like you. So again, I expect Dallas to be pretty bad value. Then I go, we are already running 38 minutes this one, so I go this bet and lay teams pretty fast, and I'll make an extra podcast about them more deeply. I have Detroit Lions as a mild lay team, because I believe that they finished last season so strongly and partly lucky that their reputation has raised too much, even if there is a lot good things in the team. So by no means I expect them to be 53 rated team there. The betting market before the season, I can kind of use different methods than I can imply from certain betting market numbers the comparable power rating to my scales, and the market seems to think Detroit is a 56 team. I call them 53, which means that the market generally might be something like 2 points or a couple of percentages higher than me. So I need to be on the lay side. But again, it's very situational. Denver Broncos is a clear bet side for me, especially in their home games in Denver in the high altitude. You know, it's pretty demanding for the opposite teams to adjust fast to the mountain oxygen thing. I don't know what to call it in the proper English, but you know, understand what I mean. Some teams travel early, but still it's different. And somebody told that of next game, at especially in the basketball when they, or in ice hockey, it can affect the traveling team in their next match as well. But yeah, more about Denver. So as I said, best value they'll give in their home games. And why? I mean, they looked so ugly last season, but they had different coach, and I would be frank, they had a bad coach last season. Sean Payton is, in my book, a massive improvement on the coaching side. He, if I remember right, he had some kind of 10 years career in New Orleans, and he did good job. And at least if somebody can stay in a professional sports organization as a coach 10 years, even that is good nowadays when the organizations and owners are very kind of fast to sack the even good coaches. They don't have the patience and understanding. So I'm a great fan of Sean Payton, and for me he is kind of, you know, rainmaker for Denver Broncos. I don't like Russell Wilson. His playbook, or the playbook he has been instructed, is a bit too risky for me, which means that he throws too many interceptions and thing. And at that sense, Denver is not my profile team. But here I have something very strange opinion which might help in the seasonal bets for Denver. Okay, they are not in a position to have a good seasonal bets anyway, but I mean, if that diva Wilson gets older and unhealthy and so on, and they get their second string coupe to play, that might help to get good betting value from Denver, because the betting market always, even if, of course, the QB is very important in American football, so it is overbet. So the paradoxical situation that Wilson should be benched or even retired might raise the betting value for Denver Broncos, so keep that in mind just in case. Then LA Rams, it's hard to imagine that kind of underperformance which they had in their hangover last season. But it was bad defense, partly bad coaching, bad offensive line, some troubles in our team overhead. Then, or very offensive line. I mean, somebody has said that it's decent, somebody has said it's bad. I can't give a clear opinion, but there is a lot of kind of wave in both baiting coups, Libra, how would I say? My English is pretty bad, sorry about that. But still, I expect Rams to improve a lot. We have Korov experienced. I have respected Stafford all the way during his career, even in those days when he had bad reputation, Coop, Donald. And then we have a Kyrot, good young players. So quite often that is a good mix, young talent combined with good players. And even if the coaching was criticized last season, I'm not too sure. And so I have just raised questions and questions and questions, but this is not a question. That team is underestimated and underbet. I estimated that, and I have seen that during the last first two rounds of NFL, and I have been betting Rams already. So I'll keep betting, and they might offer value at least for a couple of weeks. Then what else? Yeah, I lay New Orleans Saints. They are not as good as last season. And I lay New York Jets. I laid them more than at the very first weeks because the market, I think, overreacted to Rodgers. Once again, the QBs are overreacted. So they might be better value if Rodgers doesn't play. But still, I mean, they performed in my power ratings last season around the 40 level. And now the preseason markets rated them to 56s. And if one counted the implied power ratings from the world top sport market handicaps and money line lines, that would have given the same about 54, 55 power rating estimates. So that much mistake I can't make. The even the very good, even younger quarterback can't be worth that 15 power rating points. So my 44 is already kind of smoothed compromise, and it might be the case that in my personal betting I go even more aggressively against Jets than I dare to say here in my public podcast for you. And that public podcast has now lasted already 48 minutes. I simply can't help myself to think a lot and explain my thoughts to you. So I don't know. I mean, sorry but not sorry. That's my way. And if you had the patience and listened and liked my podcast, I'm very thankful, and more to come. Have a good NFL season and good life as well. Bye now. Thank you.